if you're sitting in a doctor and your gut is telling you this isn't right, what this person is telling me isn't right, you need to listen to yourself.
My name is Michael Rubino.
I'm on a personal mission to make sure you don't get sick inside your own home.
I knew there was something wrong. I'm just so relieved there's something that you can do about it.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for watching another episode of Mold Talks. I'm your host, Michael Rubino, and today's special guest is Jenna. Jenna, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be here with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, obviously we're here to talk about air quality. And, you know, the first question that I always have is, what journey did you go through that really made you realize that air quality is important?
Well, I'm a teacher, and in the school year of 2016-2017, my classroom was in a mobile unit, and that's where it started. From the very first time I stepped foot into that classroom to, you know, just get the lay of the land, measure things, figure out what I could get for decor, I was there for maybe 45 minutes and I developed a cough.
Wow.
And I knew there was mold, right? I could see mold. I would wipe it off with Clorox wipes because at the time I knew nothing about it. You know, we had in the mobile unit, we had a whole closet that was just dedicated to ceiling tiles because the ceiling tiles would be changed out weekly, monthly. One of the ladies across the hall from me eventually did just like a went to a local hardware store and got some sort of swab mold test. So we knew there was mold, but at the time I didn't understand the impacts mold could have on my health, right? So it started with the cough and then it just kept going, right? I mean, every day, week, month, new symptoms would happen. You know, coughs, headaches, sinus congestion, or just sinus pain with actually no congestion, fatigue. I had changes to my vision. I had ear ringing, super sensitive to smells, kind of like pregnancy smells, which obviously we can't relate to, but some listeners out there can. My body had a really hard time with temperatures, like regulating its own temperature. I would be dripping with sweat and it would be, you know, 10 degrees outside. Joint pain, right? So just all encompassing, really broad symptoms. And I knew there was something wrong. And I would go to general practitioners with, you know, my ailments, and they would just kind of dismiss me, right? Like, you couldn't possibly have all those symptoms. Those symptoms are in no way related to each other. And they were just very quick to try to talk to me about going on antidepressants, anti-anxiety medicine. And I just knew in my gut that that's not it, right?
Yeah.
I know there's something more here. So then it was the spring of that school year and no one was giving me answers. And I knew it had to be related to this building, right? This building clearly had mold and I have never had such severe symptoms. So this has to be connected. So I went to an allergist because at the time I had no idea where else to go for mold. And when I went to the allergist, I told her, you know, I think my workplace is causing all of these symptoms. And she didn't laugh it off, but just, you know, you can't believe everything you read in the news. And, you know, mold is sometimes overhyped.
What can you believe?
Right? These days, I don't know. So she did just the traditional, like, you know, the little test on your arm with the little vials. And sat in there with a nurse who, after like 2 minutes, my arm was just so itchy and inflamed. So the nurse went to get to the doctor right away. And, you know, they just stopped the mid-test. And she was like, that is, you know, a not typical reaction. And it's clearly to mold. And she suggested I have, you know, my home and my workplace tested.
It sounds like her whole mind was blown at that point.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You broke the doctor.
I did. But and then she, prescribed typical allergy, like, nasal sprays, pills, which didn't really do anything to help
Sure.
my. But I did talk to my principal about having the mobile unit tested. But of course, to the school district, mold testing is just the air testing,
Right.
right? They won't do any sort of cloth testing or anything like that. But the air test even did show random spores of mold, not enough to, cause any alarm or to have them do
Sure.
any modifications to the building. Just, oh, people might be sensitive to the building, and that was about it. So I didn't really get anywhere there. And
Can I ask you a question? And I don't mean to take you off your train of thought
no,
here,
go ahead.
but let's talk about this for a second. How many kids were in and out of that building?
Well, I was part-time, so I only taught 4 classes a day, but I had, 4 times 20 to 30 kids. So I myself had at least 80 students, but there were 6 classrooms, right? And the other teachers had 6 classes a day. So hundreds of students. And, after I left that job, I realized I sent numerous children to the nurse's office with nosebleeds. And I taught middle school for 15 years. Never did I have kids just randomly have nosebleeds all the time in class. And that school year, I was constantly sending kids to the nurse.
Wow. And did you notice any abnormalities with just attendance? Kids getting sick frequently and not being in class as much as maybe some of the other kids in the other buildings?
I don't know about that. I taught foreign language, so kids were only in the mobile unit in my classroom for 40 minutes a day, right? They weren't in it all day long like the teachers were. But I definitely know some of the other teachers that I worked with were for sure impacted by this.
Wow. So important that we're aware of this, right? Because this is obviously making us sick.
For sure. And it's hard to find answers, right? I mean, at the time, this was 2016, and I'm trying to look stuff up online, and there were not many people talking about this at that point. At some point, I stumbled onto Schumacher, his website. But even that didn't have, I thought, complete information, right? It was very difficult to try to find help because I knew in my it was mold, and I couldn't find anyone that could help me.
Listen, it still is hard to find help, right? I mean, the amount of doctors that actually know about it, probably if we said 1%, I think that would be generous.
That would be a huge overestimate.
Right. Buildings are getting worse and worse. They're being improperly maintained, improperly built. There's still no health codes for anything that has to do with environmental toxins to this capacity. So you don't get health coverage typically.
Yes, I think that's a huge hindrance for sure.
Most people are limited in their home insurance coverages. Schools are limited in their insurance coverages. So this is something that's just been continuously swept under the rug and ignored because it could be expensive to fix.
For sure. And I feel like it is not even with the medical profession, but even like mentioning it to my principal, I felt like it was taboo and like I was doing something wrong, right? It's just very, it is not well received. It's almost like people take it personally, that I'm suggesting there might be a mold issue.
Yeah, I think there definitely is a stigma around mold, right? Like, first off, it's part of our ecosystem. It's naturally occurring in our environment. Shouldn't be naturally occurring in our homes, buildings, schools, right? We can control it. But when it gets out of control, people tend to think like it that there is a something that they did wrong, right? And it's not always the case. It doesn't mean that you have a dirty home. It just means that there's some sort of issue allowing water to opportunistically create a condition for mold to be able to grow. And that should be something that we obviously alert ourselves to and jump on and fix right away, but it's not something we need to be embarrassed about, you know?
Right. Right.
So how did you,
discover that it was a big issue?
Well, I guess, you know, obviously you started to know it was a big issue. You named all the symptoms you were experiencing, right? But what happened after that? The school kind of brushed it off.
Had me quit. He was like, you're not going back there. You're done. So I quit. I was, you know, very fortunate to be able to do that, right? Obviously, that is not an option that most people can take, right? Just quit your job. So I resigned and thought I would, you know, I would heal myself, right? And just leaving obviously helped a little bit. But the symptoms didn't fully go away. And now, so I left in the summer of 2017, and I didn't get medical help from a mold specialist until October of 2018. Because things were getting better, but they'd come and go. And, you know, I didn't know where to go. And
so finally, how many doctors did you go to before you found someone that actually could help you?
Six.
Wow.
I went to five general practitioners. And then somewhere in there, one of my symptoms was like heart palpitations. So at some point, one of them was like, you need to go get that addressed. That was somehow more significant than anything else. So they sent me to a cardiologist. And the cardiologist just straight face told me, perhaps I wasn't meant to be a mom and have a job. Just that, you know, I'm too stressed out and I can't handle it.
Wow.
So finally in October of 2018, I live near Chicago, and it was like record outdoor mold counts. And there were like 3 or 4 days where mold counts were above 50,000 outside. And I felt like I was right back in that mobile unit. Everything came back. And so I was like, all right, this is it. Like, there is no denying that this is mold. And I got back on Richie Schumacher's website and found in Illinois, there were 2 people that were, certified under his protocol. So I called one that was downtown Chicago, and they happened to have a cancellation the next day. And I went down there, and, you know, she is a physician. But obviously more holistic functional medicine, I guess we'll call it. So I had like a 90-minute appointment with her and basically told her my life story. And she said that she thought, you know, no doubt that this is most likely mold. So she did a genetic test for the HLA-DR gene, which looks for susceptibilities to mold. She did a blood panel of things that they know to be
biomarkers. Effective.
Yes. And then they did a nasal swab. So my genetic testing showed I have the susceptibility to both mold and biotoxins. So I get the double whammy there. Most of my markers, the biomarkers, were elevated or decreased. And then they found, you'll say it better than I will, Aspergillus niger in my nasal cavities.
Wow.
So we, you know, treated the nasal cavities first with some concoctions of nose sprays. And then went, after that, did like the cholestyramine and a whole bunch of different supplements to support my immune system and liver and things like that. But that started in 2018, and I feel like I'm still not complete.
So it's 2023. 5 years later.
World better, right? And know that I have definitely improved. And I've had, you know, blood work done to show that, you know, things are back to normal, but I am still very easily set off. So like a month ago, I was at a restaurant here in town for a bridal shower for someone. And I got to the front doors and I could smell mold And I was like, oh, do I go in? But I went, and I mean, I might have been there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I mean, that cough, that mold cough was back, rashes, headaches. I mean, it was instant. So I know there's that I still have more work to do. But after being, you know, so down chronically with mold for so many years, like, you know, that beats you.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me, I don't know if it makes you used to, you know, discomfort and pain, but
becomes the new normal.
Yeah. The new normal. So much better. So, you know, I can deal with random bouts of reactions from moldy locations every once in a while. But I know at some point I need to speak to someone about, you know, clearly there's some sort of, I don't know, mast cell. I've got, you know, increased, you know, histamine that I haven't gotten rid of, or something is causing me to react so severely still. But
yeah, I mean,
I'm so much better.
I'm not a doctor and I can't diagnose you, right? But there's a lot of correlation with, you know, mast cell activation syndrome kicking in once you have, you know, mold exposure and become severely ill, that might need to be addressed, right? Or something else has, now that you're out of it, great. You're in a place you can heal, but something else has been set off, has been triggered, right? That needs to be dealt with. And I'm sorry that you haven't found that answer in the past 5 years.
Well, it's, you know, it took a lot to get out of it, right?
Right.
It took a lot to heal. I'm also, you know, a 43-year-old woman, so I've got, you know, hormonal changes as well. And all of that is related. So, you know, at some point I'll find the answers, but right now I'm just happy that I'm not living with crazy mold symptoms on a daily basis.
And you know, I would really love this cardiologist number. Is that since you've told me what he said to you, I've just have not been able to get it out of my mind.
Yes,
because perhaps he shouldn't be a doctor. You know, there actually are some really great cardiologists, by the way, that do know about mold and that are studying the impacts that mold can have on the heart, right? Such as heart palpitations. So his inability to learn new information should never be a reason to tell somebody that, you know, well, perhaps you need to reevaluate your life, because that is not fair.
Right. And I'm very fortunate. Like I said, I have a husband who, you know, forced me to quit. And I'm, you know, he makes enough money that was possible for the two of us. I have had, you know, physicians in my path that have helped me. So I am very fortunate, but yes, thinking about physicians like him make me angry, because how many people are there out there like me who listen to him, or any one of the other general practitioners I went to that just wanted to prescribe me antidepressants? You know, how many people are just going on those and calling it a day?
Thousands of people that I know of. So got to be a lot more. The antidepressants thing's a big one. I mean, I almost hear in every podcast, you know, somebody saying, yep, my doctor thought I was crazy and told me to go on antidepressants and that it was all in my head.
Right.
And that's like the staple of what you hear people go through. And that's not okay, right? Because here's the thing. These doctors, they do their typical labs. And when there's no abnormalities in those typical labs, they think that's the end of the playbook. There are so many other things you can look for. So then they'll start referring you to specialists, and then they have their own little narrow labs that they look at. And if nothing fits into that category, they just refer out to somebody else. And everybody's just passing the buck. Yet you have to go to six different doctors to finally find one that's like, hey, have you thought about your environment? And that should be in everybody's playbook. Hey, your labs look fine. That's good news. There's nothing seriously wrong with you from what I can see from my standpoint of my training. So I recommend you look at environmental, which I'm not going to say is going to be easy, but at least if that's the answer, you can do something about it now instead of I don't know how many years it took you to go through six doctors, but I'm sure it wasn't in just a couple of days.
For sure. And it was hard to find the doctor that I did eventually find, right? And like you said earlier, luckily, the doctor I did find was connected to a practice. So she took health insurance for most things, right? Like nasal swabs, and my spray to combat the mold in my nasal cavities wasn't covered, but you know, all my blood work was covered. But many of these doctors, the functional medicine industry, who are more likely to be able to help individuals like us, they don't take insurance. And yeah, that's something not everyone can afford.
Yep. Just to unpack some of what you're experiencing today, mindset's very important with health and wellness. And I want to share with you that many people that get out of the mold and start to do better, you know, they get to like that 90% range. And that other 10%, it can take some time. But it is your body's alarm system telling you that you are not in a safe place. You can get sick here. Get the heck out. And I invite you to listen to the alarm system, because it will help you avoid certain places that will trigger these symptoms and make things worse, right? Because how you feel afterwards, it's never going to be worth it.
Right.
And we're not going to accept this as the new normal, right? Because there are things you can do to get out of this hypersensitivity over time. I've seen so many people do that in various different ways. But for right now, you know, it is your superpower. It's not a weakness. And if you look at it as a weakness, you will feel like it's a weakness. But if you look at it as a superpower, that is so much better way to live your life right now in that optimistic state, because it really is. Like you're going to know right away, okay, I'm not staying in this place.
Now, yes. I joke to my husband that I am a barometer for mold. I need no mold test. We need to move. And we go into houses, and it's just, I can tell within 1 minute, 5 minute, 10 minutes. I mean, if we can even think about this place. And not to say that places can't be fixed or corrected, but it is amazing how many places I go in that I know something's growing here that shouldn't be.
Yeah, no, it is amazing, actually. And most people do need scientific information. You will be able to tell right away, mm-hmm. which, like I said, it is a superpower. And it is for your protection, because your body knows that this place will make you sick if you stay here an extended period of time.
Yes, that is definitely the one thing I have learned in these 5 years. At some point on this journey, at a yoga class I was at, one of my yoga teachers said something about, you know, listen to your body whispering before it starts to scream. Sorry.
It's okay.
And I mean, if there's one thing that you need to do, it's just listening, right? Your body is always trying to work at peak performance. And if you're having these crazy symptoms that no one can explain, there's a reason.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And, you know, knowing what I know now about my body and mold, you know, obviously I was greatly impacted because of the one location I was at during that school year. But I mean, this has been an issue for decades for me, right? You know, being a teacher, growing up in Illinois, right?
Sure.
The school I went to as a child, K-8, was condemned, right? Went to college in Illinois, and have been in a school building my whole life. So, you know, these big flat roofed buildings that, you know, obviously aren't as maintained as well as your own home, for a variety of reasons. I just, you know, I remember starting teaching when my 20s, and I had crazy acne, never had acne in my life before I started teaching, crazy headaches, weird gut things. And people were just like, oh, you know, you're an adult. Welcome to life. Welcome to stress.
And you're 20. This happens. The second you turn 20, it's all downhill from here, right?
Right. And had I just listened to myself, you know, at that point in time, where would I be now, right?
Yeah. As a society, we have a lot of rolling up our sleeves to do here because this is unacceptable. Right. No one should feel the way you're feeling. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are feeling the way you're feeling.
For sure.
And that's the issue. And they're, you know, and going to doctors, looking for help, getting gaslit, right? And you're now zooming out and saying, huh, I wonder how this might have impacted some of the other things I've encountered earlier in my life. For right. example, I lived in a moldy apartment in New York City as a kid. I had asthma as a kid.
Right.
I moved to New Jersey out of New York City, single family home. Asthma's gone. Inhaler's gone. I no longer have asthma. Doctor says it's a miracle, right? But, you know, at the time, we didn't know about that stuff, right? Now we're more aware, but everybody needs to do their part and get more aware, including all of our doctors.
For sure.
I always like to kind of end off with some wisdom from you.
Okay.
And, you know, knowing what you know and what you've been through, if you had to give just one piece of advice to somebody who might be, you know, in a similar situation, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, like I said earlier, when I got tearful, I'm sorry, but listen to your body, listen to all of the whispers, like the little headaches and things that start, because they're just going to get worse if you don't do anything about them. And I would also tell them to be kind of selfish, right? I mean, no one cares about your health more than you. So, you know, if you're sitting in a doctor and your gut is telling you this isn't right, what this person is telling me isn't right, you need to listen to yourself.
Listen.
Yep. And be selfish. Take that day off work. You know, say no. It's okay.
Jenna, I want to really thank you, and I admire you for coming here and being vulnerable today, sharing your story. I know it's not easy to relive these moments. It is helping other people more than you know, getting this information out there so that, you know, people who are in similar situations might be able to connect some dots, so that some of the people who might not believe that there's this much of an impact can connect the dots. So thank you. I know it takes a lot of courage to get up here today, and just wanted to acknowledge you for that. And, you know, I'm here. Anything I can do to help, you know, any doctors I can introduce you to, please let me know, you know, but you will get through this. You're closer than you think, and don't give up hope.
Thank you.